if our hearts are not fully yielded unto God, you need to know and understand that old habits can still harass us. Does that make any sense? Old habits can still harass us. Twisted emotions can still paralyze us. And wrong thinking can still restrict our growth as children and believers of Almighty God. This is not freedom, brothers and sisters. This is not freedom in God, but rather bondage to Satan. I feel very confident that each and every one of us that are gathered in this building today certainly has a desire to have freedom and to have that true freedom. I'm talking about godly freedom, that freedom that is found only in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we are talking about that freedom, we're going to discuss true godly freedom. There's a lot of people that I'm afraid today may be confused about what real freedom is. But today I want to show you in the light of the scriptures what true godly freedom really is. I am certain that we must certainly have an insight of God's word in order to know what true freedom is. I am convinced by the scriptures that I read, the Bible that I study, that we have to have God's instructions for you and me to understand and know how to get to the point to have godly freedom. Is that fair to say? So I want to make sure today that we share this lesson together, that we're looking at what the scripture says about this godly freedom. I am grateful today for the Bible, because when I look at the Bible and I study the Word of God and I look at its contents and I'm looking at God's Word, you know, I am provided with what is necessary. I am provided with what we need in order to make our freedom 100% complete, to be made free from the eternal consequences of sin. I appreciate so much what the Bible says in the book of John chapter 8, down in verse 32, where the Bible says, "And you shall know the what?" The Bible says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?" The truth, the Bible says, shall make you free. It is not what mankind can promise you that'll make you free. It is not what a parent or a relative or a son or a daughter or what a preacher can tell you that'll make you free. That's why we need insight from the Holy Word of God. That's why we need the full oracles of Jesus Christ, the full oracles of God, to know what true, listen to me, what true godly freedom really is. Is that fair to say? I truly believe with all of my heart that you and me together, that we find freedom, godly freedom, when we search the scriptures. We find that freedom when we're involved in God's inspired word. But we need to be sure that we are studying God's word and doing that continuously. Let me remind you of what the Bible says about God's word over in Psalm 119, verses 103 through 105. Is everybody there? God's great word says, "How sweet are your words to my taste." Now watch what the psalmist is saying here. Matter of fact, the Bible that says, "It is sweeter than honey, even unto my what? Through your," God, listen, "through your precepts, I, this great psalmist, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Go to verse 105. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It is indeed a what? A light unto my path." So you see, I believe today that this great psalmist has got a pretty good idea of what true godly freedom is. It is by living, knowing and living by the Holy Word of God. Amen? It is by living and doing what God is calling us to do if we want that true freedom. Are you looking for freedom today? Are we looking and continuing to want that godly freedom that only He can offer? Are you ready to be led, brothers and sisters, by God's Word, to be able to resist the devil and his allurements? I think about what the scripture says that Brother Jared just brought to us in same chapter 119, 133 through 135. Watch this. Look who the psalmist is asking for his freedom. Look how he's asking for to direct his steps. The scripture says, "Direct my steps by whose word?" By your word. Who's the your? God. Amen. So direct my steps by God's word. "Let no iniquity have dominion over me." He is simply saying here, I know that I've got sin. I know that I fall short. Iniquity, I know that there's corruption out in the world today, as it is even today. Amen. But he says, "Don't let this iniquity, don't let this sin control me. Don't let this be my walk in life. I want to walk in the true godly freedom. I want to walk in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." Does that make any sense to us? All right. "So let no iniquity have dominion over me." Don't let it control me. Go to 134. The Bible says, "Redeem me purchase me, buy me, get me away from this. Listen, from the oppression of man. And the reason that he wants to do that, he says that I may keep your what? Precepts. 135, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. So to me, this is to Jerry Ladd only, but to me, I think this great psalmist is saying, I need to be able to walk in true godly freedom. I want the freedom that I can only find when I'm right with Jesus Christ, when I'm right with God. Let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of people today that think that they're walking in freedom, but they're not. Did you know that? There's a lot of people that are being misguided by some of the folks in the world today. There are false teachers out there. Do you agree with that? There's false preachers out there today. There is still just as much idol worship in our world today as it was back in the older days. We seem to think about idol worship, Darlene, as having a little mannequin or a piece of wood or a graven image. But let me tell you something. We've got a lot of idols in our world today. Music has become some people's idol. Did you know that? Concerts have become some people's idol. Self-gain has become some people's idol. Sporting events have become some people's idol. Anything that we allow to get in our way of worship, whether you admit it or not or like it or not, or whether I admit it or not or like it or not, if we allow anything to get in the way of our worship to Almighty God, brothers and sisters, it has become your idol. Do you get that? It's become my idol. Now, I don't like that because there's a lot of things in the world that I truly enjoy. But I cannot allow those things to debilitate my worship unto God. Does that make sense? I can't allow these things to get in front of me and allow that or them, or whoever, to stop me from my worship to Almighty God. Now, I can do it if I want to do it, but I'm not going to have that true godly freedom, am I? Am I? So the only way that I'm going to have true godly freedom is by seeking first the kingdom of God. Are we together with that, brothers and sisters? So let us all be reminded of what Paul's instruction were, what his instruction were to Timothy over in 2 Timothy 2:15, where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly what? Thank you, Bobby. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God. Actually, why is that so important to divide rightly the Word of God? So that we can have true godly freedom. Isn't that right? Because if I'm not rightly dividing God's Word, Brother Larry, then I'm not going to be able to walk in His freedom. And I want that godly freedom. Is that all right with everybody else? 2 Peter 3:18, the Scripture says, but grow, what does the Bible say? But what? But it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. You and I should make sure in our lives that we are growing. How do we grow, brothers and sisters? By being involved in His Word. Amen? If I want true godly freedom, I need to go to the only one that can give me true godly freedom. We have a tendency to lend ourselves over to so many different things in the world today, but you're not going to find the freedom that you're looking for. I am certain, brothers and sisters, that it is of utmost importance that we seriously study the Word of God. We are constantly today, we are constantly being bombarded about on things on television, things that we listen to, bombarded with things about what true freedom really is, and about freedom and about liberty. We hear about it from the television. We hear about it in music. Social media talks about freedom all of the time. And we are told by the world that freedom, this freedom that we're talking about, is by making our own way, doing it the way that we want to do it, as long as we don't hurt anybody and we feel good in our heart about it. Brothers and sisters, that just ain't right, is it? That's just not right, is it? I'm convinced, and I believe you are too, if you love Almighty God, that we are to live by His Word. I don't want to go by a feel-good religion. A feel-good religion is what got me in trouble to begin with in the world. Amen? I want to go by what God tells me to do. And when I'm doing what God tells me to do, brothers and sisters, that feels good. Amen? It does feel good when we're doing and walking the way Christ tells us to do it. But we need to make sure that we are not living our lives on our own terms, but rather on what God says for you and me to do. When we belong to God, when we are children of Almighty God, when we have surrendered our life unto Jesus Christ, when we belong to Him, we are told in His Word that nothing but nothing can separate us from His love. Does that make sense? Good. Let's go see what the Bible says about it in the book of Romans, chapter 8. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 35 through about 39. All found? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Did you notice how the question was being asked from Paul? Who can do that? Nobody. Amen. Nobody can separate you from God's love except you, except me. I'm the one that separates. But did you know, even until my last breath, God still loves me? Now, that doesn't mean he's going to allow me to go to heaven. Amen. Because we are a people of choice, aren't we? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Go to 37. Yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Watch this. From the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word Lord means master. So we've got to make sure that he is our master. We choose God. Amen. We choose Jesus Christ because he first chose us, didn't he? And he chose us by giving his son for us. There's no better friend in all the world than the one that had laid down his life for his brother. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and for me. When you want to talk about godly freedom, I don't care what the world's telling you about freedom. There is no real freedom. There is no true freedom except the freedom we find in the Heavenly Father. There are times, however, when obstacles seem to hide or mask the truth. And friends, this can be spiritually fatal. Do you understand that? It can be spiritually fatal if we're failing to see what true godly freedom really is. I believe we ought to consider a lesson this morning talking about just what the title is, true godly freedom. We know that there is no one that likes being held captive in any part of his or her life. So let's you and me together consider our lesson this morning, true godly freedom. The first point that I want us to examine this morning as we talk about this true godly freedom, here it is. I want us to, first of all, here's your first point. Let's look at some obstacles. Let's look at some obstacles to freedom in God. Things that hide our freedom. Does that make sense? Okay, so are there obstacles that can cause us not to have freedom? Yes or no? Absolutely. We're going to look at just a few of those. Friends, listen to me. There are many, many things that can block or interfere with you and me enjoying the great freedom found only in God. And I'm going to give you one right here. Comfort. Did you know being a little bit too comfortable can cause us a problem in our relationship with God? Did you know that there are people in our religious society today that has been blessed so much that they're allowing those blessings to get in the way of them worshiping God? I think people today have a tendency to forget the blessings that they have and where those blessings come from. Every blessing comes from, say it like you mean it, every blessing comes from God. So let's not use against God what he has blessed us with. Amen. You want to lose your freedom? Start doing that. You want to lose your freedom, your godly freedom? Start getting a little too comfortable in your walk with Christ. Get just a little bit too comfortable. Get just a little bit too relaxed. Because when we get too comfortable, Brother Larry, we may have a tendency not to think that we need God as much as we need God. Heather, does that make sense? I'm real comfortable. Things are going real well. My family's doing good. My bills are paid. You know, I got new tires on the car, so I don't have to worry about a blowout now. Everything seems to be going just perfect. You know what? I think I'll just take it easy. I'm not going to worry about a thing. There was a fellow in the Bible that kind of had that same attitude, didn't he? Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21. He was a rich old boy, wasn't he? He was a good farmer, had things going on. He had a field that yielded plentifully. He had these barns, and they were full. But you know what? Things kept going good for him, didn't it? Yes. And then, you know, he got so comfortable. Remember that word, he got so comfortable that he didn't think he needed God anymore. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these barns and build greater barns. I'm going to store up all of my goods, my things that my field yielded me. I am going to do all of these things, and I am going to do this, 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 and this. What did the Lord call him? He said, you what? Fool, this night your soul's going to be required of you. Now, where's all this junk going? This stuff that you thought was so important, this, all these blessings that I gave you, that you walked away from my happiness, you walked away from my freedom, true godly freedom, and now you got caught up in all your material stuff. Where's it at now, you fool? That's what he said in his word. Do you understand? Luke 12, 16 through 21. Jerry didn't say it. God said it. Amen? So he got a little bit too comfortable. We've got to be very, very careful of that. Folks, we've got to be very careful that we do not allow our comforts of life to block us from our freedom in Christ. 1 Timothy's waiting on you. Let me show you what was going on with Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. Paul is encouraging this boy to watch out for this. Are y'all ready? 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. The Bible says, command those who are rich in this present age not to become haughty. What does that mean, not to become haughty? Don't get too prideful. Don't think you're living high on the hog. Anybody ever heard of that? Don't think you all that because you ain't nothing. That's the exact kind of grammar Paul used back then. All right. Nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in, here's what you to trust. Y'all ready or not? But trust in the living who? But trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works and ready to give, willing, the Bible says, to do what? Share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold. Why is all this? That you may lay hold on what? Thank you, actually, that you may lay hold on eternal life. If you want today good godly freedom and true godly freedom, then you have to be fully committed unto our Heavenly Father. Does that make sense to you today? Don't get too comfortable. Don't use the blessings that God has blessed you with against Almighty God. So we know when we talk about these obstacles to our freedom in God, that comfort could be one of them. Did we agree with that? Do you think the next part of this, we're still in point one, but do you think the next part of this, that distractions could cause a problem? Do you think today that we are ever distracted? Do you think Christians are ever distracted? You know how you know that? Look around you. Yeah, there are some people sick. There are some people traveling, et cetera, et cetera. But look around you. This building should be packed. We should have folding chairs out here. Isn't that right? But we don't. Go to the brotherhood throughout all of the city, all the state. Go throughout the brotherhood all the way out, and you're seeing more and more empty pews. What is that telling us? It's telling us that some people in life has gotten a little too comfortable. Sadly, some people in life, perhaps, I can't judge them, but perhaps they think that their freedom is in the material things they have. I don't need God right now. I'm not sick. I'm doing really well. My wife's doing good, or my husband's doing good. My children are doing good. He just graduated college. He did this, that. Everything is fine. But when 9/11 hits, all of a sudden, the buildings are full. When COVID hit, right when the talk of it, the building was packed until they mandated all these things about staying away from each other. Isn't that about right? So you see, when something big comes up, what happens to people then? Oh, we need God. We need that freedom in God. We need His miraculous healing. We need this. Quit thinking that we need God only in those times. We need God every minute, every second, every day. Amen? All right. So let's stick to that. So I'm telling you that distraction. Folks, there's seasons in life when we might become overwhelmed with worry and possibly doubt that we possibly forget to look to the very one that provides the way unto salvation, the way unto peace, the way unto happiness. In the book of John chapter 14, down in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Bobby, what does the Bible say? Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, I don't want to take that passage out of context, but no one's going to be happy without me. Amen? Nobody is going to walk in true peace without me. Nobody is going to heaven unless you go through me. Is that right? No one is going to have true godly freedom unless you go through me, Jesus is simply saying. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So when you think about all that, you can take that one particular verse, Heather, and you can know that if you don't have Jesus, and you're not worshiping Jesus, and you don't have Him as the focal and center point of your life and the center point of your home, as He is the center point of society, we are going to fail miserably. Amen? Jesus has got to be our main focal point. If you want true godly freedom, then you better be sure that Jesus is there. Distractions. You know what? It's easy to get distracted today, isn't it? Did Peter become distracted when his environment changed? Did Judah, what's the guy's name in the fish? Jonah. Did he become distracted when God told him to go and cry out against Nineveh and he didn't really want to? Did he get distracted? Yeah, he changed his direction, didn't he? He went somewhere else instead of going to Nineveh. Then he stayed in the belly of a great fish for like 3 days. Did he not? So he was distracted. The number of marriages that has failed, the number of friendships that have been broken, the number of relationships that no longer exist, all goes back because somebody got distracted. Perhaps it was a husband. Maybe it was the wife who got distracted. Maybe they got distracted by just the buddies they work with. Maybe it was another female. Maybe he committed adultery. Why? Because he got distracted. Maybe he got caught up in his hobbies. Maybe he fell in love with sports. Maybe he or she put other things, family, friends, anything in front of God. That's getting distracted, isn't it? So you can lose your focus so very easy. I beg God every day. If me ever becoming wealthy changes my perspective, if I ever get wealthy, financially wealthy, and it causes me to lose my focus on God and lose my track, let me just stay like I am. Amen? I don't want to lose my focus. I don't want to be distracted. Just let me stay where I'm at. I don't want to say I'm comfortable because that'd get you in trouble too if you're not careful. I don't want to say I'm perfectly content, even though the Bible says can be content with what you have. I don't want to lose my focus on Almighty God. Is that okay with everybody? Because why? Because I want my true godly freedom. Amen? All right. So distractions. Now let's go to another one. This one is going to be found back in the book of Psalm again. Psalm chapter what? Therese, aren't you glad you made me do this that time? No regret at all, was it? All right. And I'm thankful for it too, Therese. Psalm 23. I want to show you something in here. This one is going to be a little different for you. I believe another obstacle to freedom in God would be this particular word, ungratefulness. Is that a word? You know why I bring that word ungratefulness up? Because there are so many people, and I'm not stereotyping young people because there's a bunch of old goats like me that does the same thing, but there are people in a world today that has an entitlement attitude. Did you know that? They owe me this. The world owes me this. I got this happen. That happened to me. This happened to me. The world does not owe you squat. You get that? God does not owe you anything. Amen? You owe God. Let's get that straightened out. I'm afraid that we walk around with the chips of entitlement on our shoulders, Heather, and we think the church owes us this. Church don't owe you anything. You owe the church. Amen? God doesn't owe you anything. You owe Him. He's the one that brought you into the world. He's the one that gives you direction on how you should walk. He's the one that tells you how to have that peace. So quit acting like He owes us. He doesn't owe us anything. Dana, are we clear on that? All right, because we owe Him. So we've got to get that entitlement attitude away from us. Many times in life, we are faced with suffering, are we not? And sadly for many, suffering can make one bitter. It can cause one to become tired. And so much that we may even forget the delight in what is good that is still around us. The truth is, even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is still there. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 23. Read it with me. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside." Jerry Jr. is not reading. Jerry, we are in verse 2. She's reading. You're not. All right, I'm waiting on you. Everybody ready? All right. Daniel, you know it? Oh, he's got it. Good job. Okay, let's start over. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and the staff, they comfort me." Now, let me go to the next verse. Verse 5, right? Think I did that to detour anybody? No, I was lost. Okay. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, and I..." Do you hear how when everybody came in together, how great that sounded? You know what that is? That's true godly freedom. Amen? The freedom to read and to quote God's beautiful word. Now, The Bible says in the very beginning of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I go back to Richard. Richard talked about this one night in here, Nancy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He was sitting right back there and he said, Jerry, do you agree that we have to choose the Lord to be our shepherd? I'll never forget that. I thought that was an amazing point. We do. We have to choose the Lord. He's already chosen us, right? But we've got to choose Him. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I can put my reliance upon Him. I know that my godly freedom, my true godly freedom comes from Him. So we know that being comfortable can cause a problem, yeah? Being distracted causes a problem. Is that about right? Being ungrateful, get that chip off our shoulders. Now, what about this? How about unbelief and pride? Could that cause a problem? Three people said yes. Let me redo it. Unbelief and pride, could that cause a problem? Absolutely. Can also cause one to lose focus. Unbelief and pride is certainly an obstacle in you and me gaining and walking in that true godly freedom. We know that not believing in God and His soul-saving word will send your soul to hell. Did you know that? Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is what? Shall be. But he who believes not shall be condemned. That word condemned means sent away for everlasting destruction. Is that about right? Where's that going to happen at? It's a place called hell. Okay, and then we also know that pride goeth before the fall. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction. So we've got to be careful. Amen? What about this? False teachers and false preachers, can that be a stumbling block to true godly freedom? Forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, can that cause us to lose our godly freedom? Failing to study, not read, but study the Word of God, can that cause us to lose our godly freedom? Failing to pray without ceasing can also lead as a chief obstacle, if I may, in causing us to lose our spiritual freedom. Let us not forget failing. This is a hard one. It's easy for me to love those that love me, but I don't like having to love those who hate me. Does that make sense? But the Bible says I got to do it. So listen, don't forget that failing to love our brethren and our enemies, amen, is part of our godly freedom. You can't have godly freedom if you have hatred in your heart. Does that make any sense? So be certain that we are on guard. Be certain that you and I are being very vigilant not to let the devil steer us away and drive us away from the freedom found only in God. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the walketh about like a roaring seeking whom he, there it is. Your second point and your final point for the day, because we have some longer points in here. Look at everybody's like, yay! I'm just kidding, we got 11 points. We've got 2 points. So let's take a look now, if you don't mind, at the second point. I want to take a quick look at God's freedom and how it what it takes us from and what it takes us to. Does that make any sense? As we look at God's freedom, let's see where it takes us from and where His freedom takes us to. I hope I worded that correctly. Is anybody confused? Okay, then let's take a look at it. I'm convinced, first of all, that God's freedom takes us from rags to riches. You remember in the Bible where it says we are as what kind of rags? Anybody remember? It starts with an F. Filthy rags. That's right, Harvey. Come on back from Florida, Bubba. So, that's right. The Bible tells us that we are as filthy rags. That's how we're described. But when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, now we are as white as snow. There you go. So without God, we are doomed. With God, we're saved. Without God, we're in bondage. With God, we've got freedom. Amen? Yes or no? All right. Just want to make sure we're still together. So God's freedom, listen, it takes us from sin's power and penalty. That's where it takes us from. It takes us from sin's power and penalty to walking in the newness of life. You find that over in Brother Larry's studies back in Romans chapter 6, down around verse 4, that we walk now in the newness of life. How do we walk in the newness of life? By putting Christ Jesus on in baptism. Isn't that right? Killing the old and being born again with Jesus Christ. Is that pretty cool, everybody? Y'all are exciting. Yeah, that's pretty nifty there, Jerry. But walking in the newness of life. God's freedom takes us from the influence of the world to the freedom of focusing on whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are praiseworthy. And there's a list there of some good things for you to look at over in the book of Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 8. Our freedom in God also takes us from worrying about anything and everything to face all circumstances with confidence, knowing that God will provide for you and me. Is that pretty awesome? Matthew 6, 33, the Bible says, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and His, and all these things what? Shall be added or shall be provided for you." What is He saying? Put me first, you'll get what you want. Now, does that mean that I'll get what I really want? If I want, you know, my windows tinted on the van, am I really going to get that? If I really want 6 more packs of those peanut butter cookies that Carolyn's nephew gave me the other night, I really want, does that mean I'm going to get those? Not if I'm waiting on Carolyn. And I'm just kidding. She hooked me up the other night. But the reality is God is going to give us what we need. Amen? He's going to provide us that way. Freedom in God takes us from unforgiven to being forgiven. That's what I love about it. You know, we're unforgiven, headed for hell, aren't we? But when we meet Jesus in baptism and we have the freedom in God, it takes me from being in an unforgiven state now to a forgiven state. When you and I put Christ on in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, He takes us from unforgiven to a saved state. He takes us from bondage to the devil to secured with Him, as long as we are obedient to Jesus Christ. Is that right? Freedom in God also does this. Freedom in God takes us from the horrors of hell to the beauty of heaven. You're either going to be in hell with all of its horror, with the murderers, idolaters, fornicators, rivalries, and the like, and all these things that Paul talked, those who practice such things will not see the kingdom of God or not inherit the kingdom of God. So I don't believe I want to share eternity with people like that. I'm having to be on earth with people like that. I don't want to be there for eternity with people like that. And I hate to say it like that because it is my desire that everyone come to repentance. And it should be your desire that everyone come to repentance. It is certainly God's desire, amen? At one time, God overlooked ignorance, but now commandeth men everywhere to come to Him in repentance, with a repentant heart. But sadly, not all are going to come to Jesus. Not all are going to come to God. There's a great number of people that's heard the invitation of the Lord being sent over and over and over and over and still rejecting the invitation of God. There are people today that have studied through the Word of God. There are people today that know the oracles of God, yet intentionally overlook what God's calling us to do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sin. So when we walk out of this building and we engage in activities that we know go against the will of God, why are you going to hit your knees? Why are you going to keep doing that? The Bible says if you continue to practice that sin, the sacrifice is no longer there. I didn't say it. God said it. Amen? So freedom in God takes us from the horrors of hell to the beauty of heaven. Freedom in Christ Jesus takes me from fellowship with the lost to fellowship with Him in the church. Is that pretty cool? All right, if we're not Christians, who's our fellowship with? And the world, isn't it? Say Satan and the world with me. Satan and the world. I just want to make sure we're together. But when I'm baptized into the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and I'm living an obedient life to Jesus, it takes me from a fellowship with the devil and fellowship with the world to a fellowship with God, to fellowship with the heavenly host and fellowship with the church. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Freedom in God takes me from no avenue of prayer to a full avenue of prayer. You like that? John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of Him and does His will, what does the Bible say? He hears him. Now, I had some folk, I had here at James Avenue several years ago, I brought that verse up and had a couple of people that kind of stumbled on it out there. Said, so you're telling me that God doesn't hear my prayer? I said, John 9, 31. But that, you just said that God doesn't hear my prayer. I said, John 9, 31. So the individual started getting a little more red-faced, and then his wife come up. She's like, what do you mean by that? So you're telling me God don't hear my prayer? I said, are you saying you're a sinner? And so then I wasn't their favorite preacher. I didn't even get a Christmas card. I didn't get cookies. Got nothing. But anyway, I still spoke the oracles of God. So remember this. Jerry didn't say it. God said it. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Amen? And if you're mad at me about it, perfect. Good job. Because maybe it'll wake us up. Now we know he doesn't hear sinners, but if anyone's a worship God, this is well, he hears him. Freedom in God takes me from being lost to being saved. Amen? Takes me from being lost, now I'm found. From sadness to happiness, from no hope to living hope. How do y'all like that? Isn't that pretty cool? So I'm hoping today that you have a desire to walk in that true godly freedom. Thank our Heavenly Father today for the freedom that he offers to those who love and appreciate him. As we close the lesson this very moment, where are you in your relationship with God? Are you walking in the freedom of God? Or are you walking by the direction of mankind? I can't change what you're doing. You can't change what I'm doing. But the Holy Word of God can change both of us. Amen? So let's make sure today that we yield to his word. That we walk in the newness of life. That we have that godly freedom found only in Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one by hearing his word. By believing, repenting of your sins, making a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Almighty God, that he died for your sins and mine. Upon that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, to live faithful unto death and into death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Perhaps today you are a Christian, but you realize in your walk with Christ, you know what, you've hit a guardrail or two, you're kind of scraped up, and you need the prayers of the congregation. That's why we're here. That's the good part about the fellowship. Amen? So if you have a need, any need at all, you're invited to come right now as together we stand and we sing.